Hi, my name is Craig Freeman, and welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. I moved to Kalamazoo 10 years ago to attend graduate school, and coming from a larger city, I brought with me my own preconceived notions about smaller towns and what they had to offer, a perspective that youth and ignorance really can bring. I couldn't have been more wrong about all my assumptions, especially the music scene in Kalamazoo. I was overwhelmed by the rich diversity of music that Kalamazoo has to offer, and this abundance of different styles really makes our city a special place to live. My guests today are a part of that very fabric. I'd like to welcome to the studio Missing Generation, Chris Schluter, Garen Young, Tim Sparling, and Abe Savas. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks for having us.
Why don't we start right away with some music. So maybe, Abe, if you could introduce the first tune.
Well, this tune is called Stutter. It was written by Chris Schluter, and it's in D.
Great way to start things off. Thanks for coming here today, guys.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah. Maybe let's start with you, Abe, if you could. Maybe we'll go around and some background of maybe why you picked your instrument and what brought you to the band, kind of how that got started.
Why I picked my instrument? Well, I picked this instrument because it was green. And I saw it in the guitar store, and I thought, "This, I need to have this." I've always wanted a surf green Stratocaster since I was a kid, and but the one that was in the store when I was a kid was way too expensive, so I settled for a blue one. Why I joined the Missing Generation is a totally different story. Originally, I was recruited to play bass because I had seen these guys play as a trio at the Old Dog a couple of times, and I thought, man, you know, I was in a band at the time, but I thought, man, I kind of want to be in that band. And so when the band that I was in stopped doing shows, I was like, I kind of approached these guys. I was like, hey, if you ever, you know, want to jam or whatever sometime, let's play. And, you know, I'll play bass. And they said, yeah, well, Tim kind of wants to play. Tim at the time was playing bass, and they said, well, Tim wants to play more guitar, so, you know, that'd be great. And slowly, as time went on, I just kind of started playing more and more guitar with the band, and now I'm, you know, playing almost more guitar than bass. So it's kind of, it's cool for me because I get to do two things that I like to do instead of just one thing. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been like 2 years I've been in the band, and we just keep changing and growing, and it's a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Tim, how about you? Maybe give us your origin story with the band and how you joined, or did you always play bass in the band? Has your role shifted during the years or over the years?
Yeah, so I've been with Chris and Garen. We started 3.5-ish years ago, and I joined their existing duo. So we just keep adding members. Originally knew Garen and Chris from People's Church affiliation and Harvest Gathering and other community events where we're always running into each other. And so they asked me one night if we wanted to play, and I had been playing some acoustic stuff with Chris Schluter for a while, and so I said, yeah, let's do it. I'll play bass. I'm not very good, but I'll try. And it was a lot of fun. Just kind of took off from there, and it's sort of been my sanity keeper the past couple of years.
Awesome.
So we split up, I think, the musical, quote, load. We switch back and forth, and I think that gives fresh perspective to every song,
Yeah.
Kind of changing.
A healthy balance.
That's right.
Yeah. And then, Chris, if you could talk about your role with the band and how you got started.
Yeah, so Garen and I, we started together probably 2007, when we first started playing music together. And, it started out as a duo, kind of in the vein of the White Stripes, just a guitar and drums rock duo. And, we played a lot of open mics, and, we're just trying to get better, and tighter as a duo. Over the years, we tried out different people as bass guitar, because we wanted that to fill in the low end, and it just, until we found Tim, it didn't really click. And so it's been fun over the last few years to get to know Tim and Abe and really lock in as a band, and both Tim and Abe's songwriting chops are great, and so it's been fun to have these guys in the band and to bring their own songwriting to the band as well as their musicianship.
Awesome. And then Garen, as the drummer, your role probably hasn't shifted too much over the years, but how did you get started with the band? Or maybe it has.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it did shift a little bit, especially going from a two-piece to a three- and four-piece. When it was just me and Chris, there was a lot of interplay between us where we could each push and pull, and we didn't have to drag along two other people to keep them, not to drag. That's
No, I get it. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
But so it definitely had a different sort of vibe and energy to it with the two piece than shifting to a three and four piece, which has been great. Being able to just really lock into the rhythms and know exactly where we're going, and then building on that energy and really nailing those parts has definitely helped me kind of direct that energy into what we're playing rather than what we could be playing, if that makes sense.
We were more improvisational as a two-piece. If you went off on a tangent, I would follow you really quickly.
Right.
And so now the songs are tighter. We've got arrangements, and we definitely know what we're going to do. Whereas before, we didn't always know where we were headed.
Which was part of the fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're decidedly a rock band at this point. It started out as just kind of garage band thing, and you're messing around, improvising.
I feel like we still have that, 60s era garage rock kind of influence in what we do, especially in my songwriting. But it's evolved, with different songwriters now playing in the band. I think the sound has evolved.
Maybe we can talk about the songwriting process. You mentioned earlier that each member brings a different strength to the band. And the does that role change? Does someone come to rehearsal with a tune and you work it out, or is it a lot more intentional where someone will have exactly what they want and want to hear it that way? How does the process of bringing an original to this band work? Maybe Abe, if you could answer that.
I don't know how it works for Chris and Tim. It's a very, very slow process for me writing songs. And I try to have something that's complete by the time I bring it to the band. I don't like band. You can always tell when bands write songs together because they are not good. not always. I shouldn't say that, but I mean, you always can tell when it's just a sort of a collection of riffs versus an actual song. And I think that that's one of the good things that we all bring, is that we have the song, you know, and then we rearrange the song and we can add and subtract, but we have the song. The song is there. The bones are there, you know. My process, like I said, it's very slow, and it just, it's kind of, as we were talking earlier, I mean, I'll bring it to the band, and at this point, especially with this band, I'm really used to knowing that, okay, well, this is not going to be exactly perfect right away, you know, like we need to sort of find our way to what the song is and what the song is eventually going to be. And I think that's what's good about these guys, is they're really quick to just say, okay, well, this is what it needs. It needs this kind of guitar part, or it needs this kind of drum part. And they're also really good about taking suggestions and me saying, oh yeah, maybe you should do this, you know, okay, well, that sounds better, you know. And I think, and I'll let Chris speak to his own songwriting, but I think that his songwriting is very easy for us to just lock into and to just kind of know. We've heard so many of Chris's songs, we kind of know, all right, well, this is what it's going, you know, this is where it's going, this is what it is, and this is kind of what my role in the song is going to be. But I don't know. I would let him elaborate on that, I guess.
Yeah. So we've come at it songs from different angles. So sometimes I'm bringing, you know, a guitar part and a bass part to the band, and you know, we need to work on dialing that in and work on the rhythm. There's been several songs where we've kind of just been jamming at rehearsal, and then I'll record that jam, and then, you know, I'll go off on my own and kind of, you know, write the lyrics and you know, piece it together. So there's some songs that have really, they've come out of jams. Like Tim will have a great bass part, Garen will pick up a rhythm, and then, you know, the song isn't actually written in that moment, but, you know, by spending time with it, you know, we're able to get a song out of that. And so the process is different each time, but often we've got a core of what we want for the song, and we build around it.
Now, is that something that do evolve? You mentioned the process evolves. Does that happen only in rehearsal, or is that through lots of performances and hearing, you know, that didn't go the way I wanted it to? Is it constantly evolving through the course of, the song's history in the band, or do you let something kind of percolate and sit until it's truly what you want it to be?
Yeah. So when Abe said like that we're good at taking suggestions, you know, I think that's a part of the dynamic of this band, is that, you know, we're open to other people's suggestions, and you know, everybody in this band has a real good sense of if something is working or not working. You can just, if you're playing together and it just is not quite, working, you kind of know it. And so
I think I'm going to just chime in. I think that's why we rarely disagree about changes. You know, nobody's really stubborn about, well, I'm not going to change it, it's good, because I think we all kind of know when it's not working, when it's not happening, and we're all sort of on the same page.
That's good. Tim, if you can answer this, through the songwriting process, do you have any role in the songwriting first off, and then if so, if you could speak to some of your influences.
Absolutely. Like I said, when I joined the duo, it was most of Chris's songs, and then we slowly started working in some of mine. I have a catalog, as Abe does, of, you know, 20 plus years of trying to write the perfect song. But it feels truly collaborative. So yes, I think there's a lot to it. I think that even if I brought something that I didn't quite feel it was complete, we jam it out and make it right and smooth it out. So I think everyone has sort of an equal share in songwriting.
And then earlier we were talking about folk music a little bit. Does that fit into your playing? Does that fit into your songwriting at all? Or since, you know, it's a different style, obviously, but wondered if that influenced or affected how you approached playing in this band.
It does. I mean, you know, the strum patterns alone are a little different from folk and rock, but you can add a little bit fuller sound. I'm getting my Gretsch fixed right now and looking forward to adding that back to the band and having, you know, different tones, different guitar tones, so that it's not just solid riff rock, but it's a little bit more complete. So, yeah.
I think that's, we often try to classify or, compartmentalize music into certain genres. And it's just, it makes it easier to identify. But I feel like the artists are always trying to develop their own voice within that genre. And, you know, if it's intentional or not, it sets you apart. I just wondered what makes, and this question maybe I'll give to Abe, what makes the music that you play different, or what makes it in line with traditional rock music? And is it something that you try to achieve? Is it something that just kind of happens?
I think when I was younger, I tried to copy the people that I liked, and which was usually, like, 60s and 70s rock music. And I think that my ineptitude at the guitar is what made it my music, like, because I would try to sound like something else, and it just ended up sounding like something that was me, you know? And I sort of have latched onto that over the years, and now I don't think about what I want it to be. I just play something, and just whatever comes out, it comes out. But it's like you're training, you train for the, you take a thousand swings in the batting cage so that when you get into the batter's box, it's automatic. And I think the same thing with songwriting. It's just, you listen to all kinds of music and it just absorbs, you just absorb it. And whatever comes out is just what comes out. So I think you can probably hear certain things that come out of all of our songs that maybe somebody might say, oh, well, that sounds like so-and-so, and you're like, well, that's weird because I don't even really like them, or listen to them, but I can see what you're talking about, and so along the way you've picked up all these different influences that, I have specific influences I feel like in my own songwriting, but I definitely just try to emulate, not imitate, but really try to do things that are like those people would do, but I don't have any formula for it. I mean, I don't have any, there's no magical, way that it just happens. You think about it and it just comes out. And then in a band, you also have these three other people that they have their influences. And so when you bring it to them and you say, okay, well, here's the song. And then eventually it kind of changes into something else that is the collection of all your influences. So I think there's, I think there's a lot in there that I think if we tried to point it out to you, maybe you could see it, but that hopefully it just kind of sounds like us,
Yeah. Awesome. Why don't we move into some more music now? Tim, maybe if you wanted to introduce the next song.
Well, I guess I get to introduce my own song, which is called Summer Love. And you can definitely hear 60s and 70s influence. And wrote this long time ago with, like, well, he's a very good friend, Josh Tolbert.
Awesome. We'll hear that now.
In the twilight, where my dreams sleep, whispered silence, oh, what can I be? Crimson kitten on the sand of the sea, phantom motion, a book.
You're listening to Weekend Let's Hear It. We are live in the Takeda studio with The Missing Generation. Everyone loves that tune. That was a great tune. Tim, does the music come to you first, or do you think about lyrics? Always a chicken or egg kind of thing, but I wondered how that process works for you.
I mean, I think every song is different, right? But this one, Some Will Love and Some Will Leave led to Summer Love, and there was just kind of a natural play on words. And at that time, I'd really been listening to a ton of The Dead and Althea and a little bit of the Allman Brothers with, you know, Melissa and tunes like that, and it sort of morphed. And like I said, my buddy Josh Tolbert and I wrote the song, and it was quick. 10 minutes, we wrote the song. It was... It was, you know, it's emotional writing with your best friend from high school, you know, so, yeah, but it's a lot of fun, too.
That's great. The sound of the band changes depending on who's singing. You know, we had Chris singing the earlier tune, And it's cool to hear different sounds emerge in your band.
Well, the cool thing is too, Craig, that not only is it the different songwriters are different, you know, they have different sounds, but also within the songwriter, like there's a lot of Chris's songs that sound totally different than the one that we just played. And likewise with Tim, there's ones with Tim that sound totally different. And, you know, mine have different aspects to them too. So we, when you hear the whole set, you know, when you hear the 20 songs in a row, it is, there's a lot of different avenues that we go down, but it all sounds like the same band. And I think that's why we're kind of lucky to find each other, because yeah, we got these songs that are all kind of different, but they all, for whatever reason, they fit under this umbrella of Missing Generation.
Yeah, it really gels. To that point, a sidebar to the band name. how did that come about? Is that another onomatopoeia, play on word?
It's a bit of a wink and a nod to the Who's My Generation and Richard Hell's Blank Generation.
I thought it was also a wink to Jack Kerouac's Lost Generation.
That too. Yeah. And, you know, we have one song that, it's essentially a joke about, in This Is Spinal Tap, there's a drummer that spontaneously human combusts in that movie. And so the fact that the generation is missing is because, you know, all of the drummers and all of the people spontaneously human combusted.
That's great.
So that's the first time I've heard that.
That was in my thought process.
Well, you can never overthink a band name, right?
Actually, Craig, you can.
We are proof of that.
Maybe we can talk about the Kalamazoo music scene. It's something I talked about in the intro a little bit, but there's such a rich diversity of music. Maybe we'll start with you, Chris, if you can just talk about what Kalamazoo has to offer as far as music and what it's like playing with different artists, and just describe the general environment of the music scene in Kalamazoo.
Yeah. So I think it's one of the things that ties us together is that we all love music. And so we're often going out and seeing local music, not just our own band, but other bands in this town. It's one of the reasons I stayed in Kalamazoo 15 years ago after I graduated from Western. I really fell in love with the local music scene here. So you know, seeing bands like the Corn Fed Girls and the Red Sea Pedestrians and bands like that when I was, you know, younger, that really, it was like this connection that I had to what they were doing that helped me want to do it too. And so, you know, this town is really lucky to have the amount of talent that it has in terms of songwriters and musicians. It's just we're a lucky town. And you know, if you haven't gone out there and gone and seen a band in a venue recently, you should go do that, because we've got a lot of good ones.
Just pick one. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Just pick one.
Yeah, any given night.
And I'd like to tag on to that, just to expound upon the Kalamazoo music scene's collaboration that I think is unique to Kalamazoo, and probably because it's a bit of a smaller town, there's not this feeling of competition between musicians that you get with bigger cities where people are really trying to make it. And so there's a lot of this intermixing of musicians playing in each other's bands and creating new groups of combinations of musicians that I feel like you don't get those kinds of
cross-pollination.
Pollination, not contamination. That's where I was going. That was
that was when I joined the band. It was contamination.
I think that's a really unique and powerful thing we have going for us in Kalamazoo.
Speaking of venues and places to play, one of the places that I've seen you guys is Earthwork Harvest Gathering. And we're talking about collaborating with artists, and no greater example of the spirit of that than Earthwork. Is that something that you have enjoyed doing in the past? Can you talk about playing at festivals and how that experience is different than maybe playing at a bar or a one-off kind of venue like that. Tim, if you'd like to talk about that.
So last year was our first year, and hopefully not last, year playing at Harvest Gathering. It was an incredible experience. We played in the barn stage, which is this beautiful family barn that over the years certain boards have worn, and so the light kind of comes in, and it's just sort of a spiritual, magical setting. And over the years, I've been volunteering. My wife and I run the first aid tent, and finally now I was playing on one of those stages, you know, and it had been, like I said, at least a decade, and I had always wanted to play and always wanted to play, and the open mics are full because there's so much talent and so much music that comes to Harvest Earthworks, a family farm there in Lake City. And so it was a tremendous honor, and hopefully we get to do it again. But I think that was totally different than any bar I had ever, open mic, I had coffee shop. It was really special. And the guys always want me to play off book and not, you know, with my music here in front of me. And I did that for that show, but that's literally the only show I've done that in my entire life. So it was a surreal, beautiful experience.
That's great. It says a lot about that experience, the fact that you were able to put your music down for one second and just enjoy the moment. Abe, I wonder if you could answer the same question. And
Well, it was at once it was different, but it was familiar because there were so many Kalamazoo people there. You know, we look up and Brian Heaney's doing the sound for us, and it's just like totally comfortable. So in that sense, it was kind of the same as always. But like Tim said, I mean, the setting and the people and just the focus on us, which we don't always get at the bar or wherever, you know, was great because it was just people really were there to see you, you know, and to see your music, and really gave you a chance and really gave you a their full attention. So that was a lot of fun. I felt like I didn't know what to expect because I had never been to it before. You know, these guys were veterans of it. So I didn't really know what to expect. And I thought, well, you know, are we too rock and roll? I thought it was going to be kind of a bunch of folkies, you know, and it wasn't really that. Not that a bunch of folkies are bad, but I just, you know, I'm always worried about turning up too loud, you know, just because when I, you know, just from growing up, I mean, I had to keep everything quiet in my room and, you know, keep the TV down so nobody knew I was watching at, you know, midnight or whatever. I had a really good time, and the spirit of community, you know, especially like I said, with the Kalamazoo people, a lot of them being there, was a lot of fun.
Something else I wanted to talk about briefly is just the balance between work life and musician life. As musicians, ooh, often, if you're really lucky, that's the only thing you do. But most of the time, you have to supplement and balance that with a career. And I wondered if maybe I'll go around and have everyone answer this question briefly. Just your take on that. If you know, if it's extremely difficult for you to do that and hone your craft while, you know, balancing family, a job, and all the other things you have to do. So maybe, Chris, if you'd like to start.
Yeah, there is a balance. So several of us are fathers in the band, so not just the work piece, but the family piece is a part of what we're trying to balance. You know, with this band, we really have one night a week that we set aside to really work on music, work on the songs we're writing, work on the songs we're trying to make tighter. And then whatever time we spend on our own that we're able to find during the work week. You know, I've always been somebody who loved music, loved writing music, loved practicing music. Like, it's never been difficult for me to find time for it, you know, because it's a priority in my life.
Yeah, that's great. Garen, how about you?
Well, I'm a woodworker, and we have our rehearsals in our in my wood shop. I've got a little front room area where I've got drum set up and the PA and mics and everything. So I get to just take a break from work and go jam on my drums for a little bit to kind of loosen up. So I get to have a little more enmeshed music and work time. I'm lucky that way. And, you know, as Chris mentioned, father as well, which helps having this dedicated one night a week, this is what I'm doing. That's just the plan. That's what's going to happen. Scheduling is very important when you're working in playtime into your schedule of family and work and life.
Yeah. I bet you get really good at it pretty quickly.
Not really.
No. Tim, how about you?
Well, so I'm a nurse practitioner. When I went back to grad school, I stopped playing guitar. Not entirely, but very rarely did I pick up a guitar. So after school, I was bound and determined. I'm going to play more shows. I'm going to start playing open mics. But being, you know, it's work, and that's important. But being a husband and a father is, you know, sort of foremost. So there's competing roles there as it is. But my family being supportive, they say, yeah, you can have one or, you know, two nights a week if you need it, to kind of get out. And like I said, it's my sanity. It helps my sanity, you know, I should say. So
nice. And then Abe?
Well, I've actually, you know, what Chris was saying, you know, always finding time for music. There was a long period of time where I couldn't find time for music. And I put the guitar away and I didn't play for a long time. And so I've only really been sort of back in the game for about 4 or 5 years. And I just kind of forced myself, you know, I joined several different bands. I'm in a couple different bands besides Missing Generation. And I've just sort of forced myself back into it and forced myself into writing because I know it's rewarding for me. And I know that that will help me, like Tim said, too, it will help me with my sanity. You know, you have stuff you need that's inside that you need to get out. And for so long, it didn't get out, you know. So I just decided that, hey, I'm going to join a band if it's on bass. I've never played bass before, but I'll figure it out, you know? And so I think, yeah, that balance is important. It's really good to have that one day a week that is dedicated to Missing Generation. But I also think that you also need to find more time to for your own... music by yourself is very important too. You know, sitting down and doing and practicing and playing your instrument and making sure that you're good and making sure, because I don't want to waste these guys' time either when I come to rehearsal and, you know, oh, I didn't play the song, or I didn't think about the new song, or I didn't think about what we did last week, you know. And it's like, yeah, we're not super serious about, you know, we're not gonna go to LA and drop everything and try to make it and try to, you know, get on Atlantic Records. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we do take it seriously. I mean, we do performances like this, and we don't wanna let the other guys down. So I think you do need to find time just by yourself to just kind of really just kind of work on it and say, all right, well, what else can I bring to the band? What other, you know, what songs or what, you know, guitar parts for so-and-so's song, you know, just anything like that. You just kind of need to do your own homework, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. It sounds like it's kind of a catharsis for you, and just playing, you
yeah, get a little to bit. Yeah.
Get all that stress out. Cool. So we talked about the festival experience. If you could talk about the kind of gigs that you play in town and what that experience is like.
Yeah.
Chris, if you could.
Yeah. So, you know, that the live performance is just another aspect of being in a band. And you know, I feel like we take that very seriously. Like Abe was saying, you know, you don't want to let, you know, the other guys down, and you also don't want to let the audience down. You know, if you didn't do your homework and you're not prepared for the live show, it shows, and you know, those people may not be back to see you a second time. So you know, my goal you know, for the live show, is to make it entertaining and fun and just, you know, try to have the music, you know, at the right levels. You go to so many shows and it's just too loud. You know, that's a thing that happens. And for me, it's not as enjoyable when things are too loud. So to make sure that, you know, what we're putting out there on stage can be listened to without the people having to go all the way to the back of the room or the back of the venue in order to hear it at the right levels. You know, I think that's important. And I think too often, you know, that's something that doesn't happen in live music. But I will say that, you know, Kalamazoo's pretty good in terms of the sound engineers understanding that. And, you know, possibly having the Western Sound Studios as a place where engineers can learn how to do this live sound thing is part of that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Abe, did you have anything to say about that?
No, I mean, now that you mention it, I mean, I think I agree with that. I feel like I've been to shows in other cities where it's not like it is here. I mean, we've got people, you know, that know what they're doing. And I think, just to add to your other point about playing in bars, I think it's not only have we done bar gigs, but we just did a workshop gig at La Luna Studios, where we were like the subject. We were the band that some students learned how to record live to 24-track tape. So that was a lot of fun because we got to sort of be guinea pigs in a way and just kind of play and let them sort of on the fly learn how to punch in and punch out. And but we've also done, I think where I met you guys was at an open mic. So we've also, you know, that's a really important part of the Kalamazoo community too, is, you know, meeting the other musicians at their open mics when they're trying out their songs and they're, you know, they're sort of honing stuff and saying, man, you know, I really like that. What's, you know, and that's how I got in with these guys. I mean, I said, hey, I really enjoyed your stuff. If you want to jam sometime when, you know, and they asked me, and it was very organic. I remember after, when we were doing our first gig, we had played together, I don't know, 5 times or whatever, at the wood shop, and practiced, and Chris said something about, okay, well, you know, at the gig, you know, we're going to play blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what gig? Like, am I in the band? What? I just remember being sort of like confused. Okay, well, I guess I'm in the band now. So it just kind of happened organically, you know, but that's all because of these venues that are around town that people have a place to meet. There's so many open mics right now that are really good. And, you know, it's imperative that if you're younger, even if you're not younger, if you're just somebody who's just getting into it, like I was after a long time, you know, you got to get out, you got to meet the people, and that's how you make the connections. And that's how, you know, this person leads to that person. And then you start to work with this person who introduced you to that person, you know, and it just snowballs.
So, the open mic experience, is that something where you would, bring like a polished work and to kind of test it out, or is that a opportunity to experiment and kind of treat it like an open rehearsal in a sense?
I think that varies for everybody. I have a friend, Brian Koenigsnecht, who's a brilliant songwriter, and he's in a band called Pillar to Post, and he's told me that he's like, oh, well, I can't play this out at open mic until I've played it myself for, you know, 3 months. And I'm the exact opposite. I mean, I've learned songs that day to go to the open mic, and I use it as, you know, it's more for me. I need to get it out there, and if somebody says, hey, that's cool, then that's inspiring. And if somebody doesn't say anything or says, you know, eh, whatever, you know, then I just keep working on it, you know, or I give up. I mean, you know, usually I don't give up, but sometimes, you know, you're discouraged, but there's always the people at the open mic that will listen to you and that are paying attention to you. And so even if there's a room full of people who are talking, there's two people in the back that are like listening to what you're doing, and they come up to you and they make it worthwhile for you. I mean, they make it so that you can keep going because, you know, you're like, oh, I am getting through, like this is really working, you know.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, I just to add on to that. So, you know, I've done open mics for years, and it's a place where you can learn how to play in front of people, you know, in a live setting, and there's this, you know, sometimes the audience isn't, you know, into it the way that you would want them to be, and so part of being a musician is being in those kind of situations where, you know, you can't hear yourself very well because maybe the monitor's not, you know, not on, you know, fully, or, you know, you've got a crowd of people, you know, that are, you know, placed at a table way too close to you because you're just in the corner of a bar, and learning how to
right by the door
bachelorette party.
Yeah. So learning how to play live in situations that are not ideal. You know, I think is a good thing for any musician who's going to play live, because you can't always be in control of all of the situations that come with, you know, going to, you know, a bar 100 miles away, and, you know, the engineer, you know, maybe it's his first day, you know, you can't control all of those aspects. So being able to learn how to be comfortable when things are not going perfectly, I think is such a useful tool in being a live musician.
I've always noticed, and I've wondered if it's a quality that I have, because I'm always a little bit nervous for whatever performance I'm doing. And one of the first things that people say is like, oh, you know, that was so great. Like, you didn't look nervous at all. And I'm always shocked because inside the adrenaline's going, and some of the best musicians that I've seen, and you certainly have that, is there's just a sense of poise, and like you said, Chris, it's very kind of stoic. It is the way it is, and whatever's going to happen, we're going to keep on trucking. And
well, what's very important, you actually brought up a good point, is that I've had friends who are like, well, you know, I would play the open mics, but I'm just not ready. You know, I'm not ready. And but that's how you get ready, is you do it. You just do it. You're not ready to do it. And you might, the first time you play, look really nervous to everybody, you know, but the second time, the third time, that's how you do it, is you just do it. There's no other special formula for being ready. You just do it.
Repetition, huh?
Yeah.
Great. Well, why don't we go into our last tune? Abe, if I believe this is your tune that you wrote, is that correct?
Yeah, this is one that I wrote a couple of years ago, and I thought, man, this is really good for this band. Like, this would be perfect. And it's called In Case of Love. And Chris likes the little brackets, break glass. So
In parentheses,
you know. I'm not sure if I love that yet, but
it's your song. You can decide what you want to
but
do.
But it's called In Case of Love. Yeah.
Great. We'll hear that now.
What is this thing called desire? Temperature is higher. What is this thing we seem to dread? Is there a monster underneath the bed? Your lips are cracked and stained with wine, but feel just fine when they're against my. Now we could make a
attention we'd attract. Never break the seal. Make a promise, break a vow. Both swear that it will be enough for now. Why don't those birds fear that crocodile? Aren't those tears behind his smile? Those waiting birds, this mythical match, these teeth that would cut all strings. By design, by design.
You're listening to Weekend Let's Hear It. We're here with The Missing Generation. We're live in the WMUK Takeda studio. And it's a really cool tune.
Thank you.
So, Chris, maybe if you can tell us, if people want to find out more about The Missing Generation, how could they do that?
So we've got a website, themissinggeneration.com, that people can check out. We've also got a Facebook page. You can just look up The Missing Generation and just give us a like, and then we'll show up on your Facebook feed. We've also got a YouTube channel that has a few live performances that we've got posted on there.
Well, I'd like to thank each and every one of you, Abe, Chris, Garen, and Tim, for coming today and playing for us. Really, really enjoyed it. I'd like to thank our sound engineer, Martin Clem, for doing some great work today. And really appreciate having you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.